Hi, I'm Will McHenry, the Program Associate at PONARS Eurasia. And with us today is Yvonne Carilla, a professor at the European University at St. Petersburg. Yvonne, thank you so much for joining us for this PONARS podcast. Are there any instances of successes of civic resistance to state pressure in Russia?
This is an interesting question. It's difficult in contemporary Russia. There were many instances of the protest, and from the surface you can see that most of the visual protests were suppressed in one way or another by the state. But if you look deeper, you see that there were actually successes, especially in several fields, I would say. Some of the successes of the civil resistance goes not from the political field, and people who are recently protested in Volokolamsk got already some initial success, and the people responsible for those people who protested against this garbage disposal plan there. Not quite win, but their protest led to the resignation of the local chief of the administration, and that was one example of the successes. And the other example, which I consider the most important, from my point of view, is the success of professional solidarity. And I can make a short example about the historians. Historians were the first professional group that felt the governmental pressure, because the history was used for propaganda reasons, because the politicians used historical examples for patriotic education. And it always, not always, but in the majority of cases, went bad for, from the professional historian's point of view. It was a limitation to historians. Creativity or to historians' inquiry, and the Russian variant of the memorial law, the law of the rehabilitation of Nazism, is actually the law which can be applied to a historian who would try to research some of the pages of the history of the Second World War. So historians were the first to feel the pressure, and historians were the first probably to organize to resist. And I can see that some of the initiatives from the top, starting with the idea to create a unified history textbook for school, did not come through. Historians just refused to participate, and it was very heavily criticized within the historical community. And now 5 years after the initiative was first aired, we do not have the unified history textbook, and the leadership of Russia stopped to talk about that, stopped to mention even the idea of the of this type of unified textbook. And this was a minor but very important from professional point of view victory. And moreover, historians just resisted to cooperate with the authorities in many propagandistic cases. So we see that state decided to rely on the professionals in public relations, like the Minister of Education Medinsky, who tried to represent this official face of the historical politics. And Medinsky himself was a target of a historian's inquiry about his doctoral dissertation, which proved to be very non-academic, I would say. And historians started a complaint about his dissertation, and complaint came to the very top of the professional community, to the All Russian Attestation Committee, and the professional expertise of that committee decided that his dissertation his degree in history should be revoked. And the only bureaucratic decision of the top of the committee, which was already not professional, decided that Medinsky could keep his degree. But that was actually did not change anything, because it was like widely spread news about his bad quality of his dissertation. So it was another example of history of historians' victory. And I consider this very important, that when people in Russia start to defend their professional identity or their local interests, like in Volokolamsk, they actually can win, or at least the resistance can lead to the real results. And this is very important, because if you watch just Russian propaganda, you can feel just failure after failure. But this is just not true.
Is the current conflict between Russia and the West the new Cold War? What are the differences between this current situation and the classic Cold War?
Oh yes, we're hearing from different corners this new Cold War has come, and that was, anybody who studied the real Cold War, that Cold War which started in the late 40s of the 20th century, can find that this is a very different situation. At that time, there were two competing ideals on the globe, like ideal of liberal democracy on the one hand and the ideal of the communist paradise on the other hand. And that was actually quite attractive. Both of the paradigms were quite attractive. So that was a big ideological struggle between different visions of the future. And that is a major difference from the current situation, because now we don't have any competing idea, despite the liberal democracy is still there, but there is no idea of the communism utopia, and neither anything else which is, which pretend to be the difference, or like traditional values, are not the vision for the future. It's actually when the liberal democratic ideal fights the traditional values, it's not fight for the future, it's fight for, of the vision of the future with actually the forces of the past. It's, it happened at like 100 or 200 years ago, and it's a different type of struggle. And this is, from my point of view, the major difference. I mean, the traditional values are not attractive globally as a vision for the future, because, traditions are different. And, the tradition of like Russian Orthodox Church are different from the Muslim traditions or from Buddhist tradition. You cannot unite people under this.
Yeah.
And of course, there are the differences. Russia, with all of the attempts to return a great status, is just less and weaker economically than the USSR used to be, and especially USSR with a global network of client states or the allies, and Russia does not have this network of client states. So there are a few, but like Abkhazia or but it's incomparable to what the Soviet Union was. So when people speak that we now have back in the Cold War, we actually into Cold War in just one dimension, in the rhetoric. I mean, the rhetoric of Cold War is back, and people use the formulas, use the words which they, which they memorize from the childhood, from the time of real Cold War. It's something which is here in the discourse, but discursive Cold War and the real Cold War are two big different things.
Do you see any reason for hope?
I do see reasons for hope, both in Russia and international relations. Probably this hope will not, the hope for the future, hope for the best in the future, I would say. In Russia, maybe not tomorrow, not today, but eventually, as a historian, it's good to be a historian, to think about by centuries or by long terms. If you think about short term, just one presidential term, it's maybe not so many reasons to be optimistic. But if you look beyond the current current politician generations, I would say that Russia today, with all of the all of the downgrade, downsliding of the achievement of Perestroika. Still, Russia today internally is better than the Soviet Union of my childhood in terms of freedoms. Well, there are different possibilities to compare, but in terms of freedom, well, I am, and my and anybody in Russia can travel abroad, and people still can speak and write whatever they want. Well, somebody started to become cautious, but it's still huge difference with what the Soviet Union was. It was a total control of the thought, of the speech, and now we still have. And this is a very important difference. So with all of the backslide of all of this, of today's Putinism, say, Russia makes steadily steps forward. And I'm more than sure that as soon as we have some change in the regime, and we eventually will do it, eventually, in 6 years or early, maybe a little bit later, but well, within the decade, I'm sure. As soon as we have a change, Russia will change into right direction, because it was a lot of forces inside Russia, which are now, well, quite suppressed, but the forces that want to renew Russian society and Russian politics, and this is a reason for my hope internally. And the international relations, well, it's connected to the previous question. We have a rhetoric of the Cold War, but this is not a real Cold War, and we don't have the real, I do not believe that the Russian leadership wants a real war, or they are not. This is just a different world, and I don't believe, of course, that the West wants a real war against Russia. So this is a period of the harsh rhetoric, of the return of the rhetorical Cold War, but it will, this goes in cycles in our history. Really, of the relations between Russia and the West, and this cycle will eventually get back. So it's, again, as a historian, I could say that, well, within maybe 10 years, we will live in a very different world, in a different Russia, in a different international system, and that system will be, well, there will be problems, but there will be not the problems of the Russia versus the West confrontation. It will be a different type of the world. Thank you.
Fascinating. Ivan, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you.